This is the Big K Morning Show. Welcome. Hopefully you survived damage to your home or property with the heavy winds from yesterday's line of thunderstorms late in the afternoon and the evening. Still a lot of people without power, as Paul, you just reported. Duquesne Light with the most, right now down somewhere around 25,000.
Actually, that just bumped up in the last few minutes to 26,000. And that typically happens at this time in the morning. People are waking up to find out they don't have power and reporting it now.
Gotcha. All right, we'll continue to cover that part of the story and the excessive heat. And that's part of our conversation with the executive director of Light of Life Rescue Mission here in Pittsburgh. Jarrell Gilliam is with us. Jarrell, welcome back.
Hello, Larry. It's always good to be with you.
One of the things that you deal with every day is ensuring that individuals are as safe as they can be, and people without homes in particular who are looking for shelter, especially during the really cold months of the winter and now this excessive heat of the summer. So what are conditions like right now?
Well, anytime the temperature gets up over 90 degrees, we know that we are in dangerous territory for our unhoused neighbors. They don't have the opportunity to be in air conditioned in places that can bring the temperature down. So all of the typical things that you're concerned about in heat are happening with them: heat exhaustion, heat stroke. We have to make sure that they are able to get hydrated. And so because of that, we have special outreaches to the encampments and to the places where people are staying in order to bring them in out of the heat and bring water to where they are as well.
How many people typically, Jarrell, do you serve in a week through Light of Life Rescue Mission?
Well, on any given night, there's around 150 to 200 people who are under our roof somewhere. They're not all in our emergency shelter, but we have some of our women stay in scattered site apartments. We have a small apartment building where we have some people there. And so it depends on how many children are with the women, so our census goes up and down. But that's approximately what we're dealing with every week.
And the last
last year, it was over 5,000 unique individuals that we served in a year.
5,000. And when last we spoke, after the fire at Second Avenue Commons, which displaced 180 individuals, Sarah Inamorato, Allegheny County Executive, put out a challenge. The goal is to make 500 units available to people in Allegheny County in shelters within 500 days. So how does Light of Life play a part in that, or are you not directly involved?
Well, there was a meeting that was called by the county exec with the providers, and so we were able to get a heads up on Monday. I was invited to the meeting, and so I got to hear more about the plan at that particular time. One, I applaud the urgency and the creativity that's being applied to this problem. Some of these things, Larry, you and I have talked about, for quite a while, of being willing to look at buildings and that are not being used that could be converted over. So we're excited about that fact, and excited that the administration is willing to put money behind it and accelerate the process. We are concerned with the plan. We don't know all of the ins and outs of the plan, but what I have warned against is that many cities, and I visit several cities a year, especially out west, and I try to learn from their mistakes. Many of them have tried similar approaches, and the ones that work and ones that don't, there is a similar outcome that happens. And what happens is, if you don't have supportive services that are connected to the housing, it ends up being a failed attempt. And so people who are staying in these homes, in these houses, many of them need additional support more than the home. And sometimes people have this idea called housing first. Which means, you know, hey, you just put a person in a house and then the problem is solved. And for the network that we're a part of, we're part of a network called CityGate Network. We estimate that 25% of those who are experiencing homelessness, housing first is appropriate right step. But for 75%, they're going to need mental health support. They're going to need medical support. They're going to need recovery support. And if those don't come with the housing, then they end up in isolation. They end up increasing in the mental health decompensation, and it becomes a problem. So we don't want to see that happen here in Pittsburgh.
Well, hopefully, Gerald, they'll be responsive to what you've learned in your travels. And as you know, especially out west, the issues are exponentially greater than we have here in Pittsburgh. Is that correct? In some of the cities that we've seen, like Los Angeles and Portland, Oregon, and others, Seattle.
Yes, yes. And I've been to each of those cities. I've worked on the ground. I've worked with the people who are there. You know, I just returned from Lexington, where we had a national conference and we were talking there. They are looking at the trend right now is the homeless population is on track to quadruple in 5 years. And so that's the reality of what's happening. And many of these cities have tried similar approaches. And so we have to be aware that, one, the problem is growing across the country. It's a nationwide problem. Pittsburgh is not exempt. The reason that we have been below the curve and having people who are experiencing homelessness are because we have some of the best systems of nonprofit medical systems in the country that have been ahead of this for so long. Some of the international leaders are here in our city. But when those providers are not included around the table, we can't get the best ideas forward. And so I'm challenging everyone who's coming up with ideas to convene the people who are in this space. Let's hear all of the voices. I applaud the efforts that are moving forward. I'm just concerned that it's not going to be enough. With the 180 that were added, we are already in an overflow situation at Light of Life. We had we were approached, as other shelters were, to see if we could add our overflow capacity. Other places stepped up, including us, and we were willing to add an additional 10 beds to help. As of yet, we haven't need to use those extra 10. But what is so keenly in front of all of us right now, Larry, is that we're talking about June, and we're in this overflow situation. We're going to be going into the winter months. It sounds weird thinking about winter in the middle of a heat wave, but if we're talking about 6 months of being an overflow, the increased problems that we're seeing on the streets, we're going to have a major crisis by the time we reach the winter. And I'm encouraging us to look at this as a state of emergency for homelessness. It may seem like it might be extreme, but that's what I'm seeing on the streets. We need to convene the heads of governmental agencies and to reach out to our governor and look for federal resources to say, what is it that we can do to not only have 500 places for people to stay, but to have commensurate mental health support, behavioral health support, medical support, recovery support. And we have partners that we work with that help with all those things. A lot of those services are in place. If they had the funding, they could increase their capacity. We need to see the same kind of urgency applied to the support as we do to the housing.
Appreciate the work you do every day, Jarrell. Thank you for joining us, and keep us posted, please.
Thank you for keeping a light on this, and thank you for the work that you're doing. And it's always a pleasure to be with you, Larry.
Jarrell Gilliam, Executive Director of Light of Life Rescue Mission, and they have done great work in this town for a long time. But hear what Jarrell had to say, and very important message. Next half hour, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to see your Pittsburgh Pirates. And if you had a chance to watch last night, Paul Skeens, I can't get enough of watching that guy pitch. thinking he just turned 22 and how he at times embarrasses these major leaguers.
He outwits them. They get a hold of a fastball and he gives them something that they can't hit the next pitch up.
He has made it a lot of fun. What is he? You said 4-0 for his in terms of wins.
In the last four. And they're 6-1 when he starts.
Okay. I like those odds. That's good. Other sports news related, we mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be part of HBO's Hard Knocks in season. It'll premiere on December 3rd, along with the other three teams in the AFC North Division, including the Browns, Ravens, and Bengals, which I think is going to be fascinating for Steelers fans, particularly because there's so much additional interest in the team because of all the changes the Steelers have made in the offseason. And they're on vacation, finally, after all those mini camps and OTAs. They're done officially until they go to Latrobe the third week in July. And they'll probably end up with record crowds up there just because of the interest, Paul, I would think, right?
I can't imagine it not being packed. We'll find out pretty quickly because the team will probably tell us that the tickets are all taken.
Yeah, by the way, that's a great point. Tickets now, because we're in this electronic age, are mobile. They're free, but they have a limit on certain days for certain events, too, throughout the course of camp. So you might want to go on Steelers.com and kind of work your way through how that works to make sure you don't miss it, because there are a lot of people that come from out of town. They plan their vacations around going to Latrobe at the end of July and into August. And then you have the first preseason game. Man, that's coming up. I can't believe how fast it accelerates. You know, we're starting to run out of June here. But looking at the team schedule, the first preseason game comes August 9th. So we are less than 2 months away from seeing the Steelers play in a preseason. They only have three. Eventually, they'll only have two because they're going to extend the season from 17 regular season games to 18 at some point.
Wow.
Very soon. And
I remember when 14 seemed like a lot.
When Terry Bradshaw and the Steelers greats of those four Super Bowls in six seasons, right, set the tempo for this organization post, you know, their first Super Bowl win, at one point, now think about this. The Steelers had six preseason games. Six! I mean, that seems unimaginable at this point. But Hard Knocks, HBO in season, December 3rd will be the premiere, and that'll be every Tuesday through the playoffs.
So I gather that we'll be watching the Ravens prepare for a game with the Steelers, or the Browns getting ready to play the Bengals, the Steelers getting ready to take on the Browns, etc.
All of that. And that will be fascinating to watch for Steelers fans. One other sports note, the Celtics won their 18th NBA championship last night. That was easy. And
it was a blowout.
It was. Boston, you know, with the Patriots, with the Red Sox, with the Bruins.
And don't forget, in that area, UConn as well, winning all those basketball titles, both the men and the women.
I heard them saying, I cringed. We're the city of champions, and it's hard to argue that right now.
No question.
With Boston. And then tonight could be the end of the NHL season. Florida could get their first Stanley Cup. They lead the series 3-1 over the Edmonton Oilers.
They seem to have their number. They're making Connor McDavid and their other fast players skate around the perimeter. They're all along the boards, not near the net as they would like to be.
Look at you paying close. That's very good analysis.
Scoring opportunities are not as plentiful.
I'm impressed.
But the Oilers are capable. I mean, they won the last game 8-1. They were pretty frustrated, but I expect Florida to close it out tonight.
Well, the Pirates are at home again tonight, speaking of which, against Cincinnati Reds down PNC Park. And coming up, we're going to talk about the potential for the marijuana law changes in Pennsylvania. What happened in Maryland was a big deal yesterday, too, with Tamira Rush. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen and Tamira Rush from our newsroom. Good morning, Tamira.
Good morning, Larry.
So your story intrigued us on a number of levels about the potential for a new bipartisan bill to legalize recreational marijuana in the state of Pennsylvania.
Correct.
All around us, as you know, in Ohio, New Jersey, New York, it has been legal. And yesterday, Maryland made news because they pardoned a bunch of people who had possession records and arrests and expunged those so that they could potentially get jobs they couldn't get or otherwise just remove the stigma.
Right.
But when you talk about the potential for recreational marijuana in Pennsylvania, how realistic and how fast do you think that might happen?
I think it's kind of like a trickle-down effect, right? When you see the neighboring states doing the same thing, it's like, hey, there's money to be involved. And when you have a situation like this where it's a bipartisan bill, right? You have a Republican and Democrat coming together for something like this. It's like you don't see this happen very often. But when you say that there is a $1 billion to be made from recreational marijuana, at the end of the day, you look in and you say other states are doing it. Why can't we?
When you say $1 billion, you're talking about potential tax revenue?
Yes, $1 billion.
Wow.
In tax revenue next year. That's what the state reps are pushing for. And I think that's the way to go when, you know, you have this, you know, war on drugs and it seems like it's never coming to fruition. You look at alternatives, and I think this is something great. I think people, you know, have served time for marijuana, and you look around and you have, you know, people who are, you know, it's legalized in some states. I think how many states it says, Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, Nebraska, New Mexico, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, and Washington. Why can't we?
The entire country of Canada to the north, and the federal government, I know they're flirting with taking it out and being a Schedule I drug. Part of the issue is for a lot of states is at the federal level, it's still illegal, which
yes.
is bizarre.
So, yeah, it's really it really is.
So we're in an odd, you know, we're now surrounded.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like you jump on the bandwagon kind of thing to say, hey, but if there is monies to be made, you know, the states are going to move towards something like that. I mean, it's fortunate, but it's unfortunate as well. However, when you look at the communities that are suffering from, you know, the war on drugs and in the arrests that come with something like this, it's now given people an opportunity in certain communities to live better.
I would imagine that still, if they said today, if they stamped this and the governor signed it in Harrisburg today, just how long it would take to actually, you know, where you would have, I guess, recreational dispensaries pop up.
Right. But there are dispensaries. I mean,
they're already there.
Exactly. So this isn't anything new. It's happening. It's just that our state, Pennsylvania, isn't on board with it just yet. But I guarantee you, with $1 billion in tax revenue, I can guarantee that this is going to happen.
And the thinking is that it could be passed this year.
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope for people who have pushed this. And I know Dan Lachlan, a Republican up north in the Erie area, and we have both Democrats and Republicans now. For a long time, that wasn't the case. But now you have this bipartisan move. So if it would pass this year, then I don't know when the first marijuana stand would open.
Well, yeah, but you also have to think about the people who are actually incarcerated for the sale of marijuana. See, that's an issue too, right?
Yeah, it's a big issue,
yeah,
and that's what
it sets the governor up for. What happened in Maryland yesterday? They had over 175,000. What was it? He was he granted pardons to over. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's
for,
right.
For convictions on various marijuana crimes.
That's exactly right.
So you've got people locked up right now in Pennsylvania who would probably need to be let go.
That's correct. So, yeah, I mean, it's a win-win overall, you know, when you have where we are now from where we were before, I think it's something that, I mean, if people are listening, it's State Rep Emily Kincaid, Democrat of Allegheny County, and State Rep Aaron Coffer of Luzerne County. So if people are listening and they want to, you know, call their legislators and tell them to get on board with this, I think that's something great.
And you were saying earlier, Tamira, that there are already dispensaries, which would lead me to believe that they would just need to add a retail component.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're already out there. So that would just be added on to it. Right. So it's we have dispensaries all over.
I wonder if they could just add on to the state stores. Remember, I mean,
Larry.
Right. What are you trying to do?
Crying out loud.
Well, I mean, while you're
pick
there,
up a bottle
fired.
Of wine and a joint. I can't believe it.
That's right. Like, well, really?
Well, part of this measure is that, you know, the legal framework would be expunging criminal charges against people who were found guilty of smoking it, possession, or even distributing it in the past.
You know, come to think of it, Larry, what you've just touched on makes perfect sense.
Why wouldn't they? They already have the structure set up. You got state employees in these wine shops. Just add a little section over here.
I guess.
I've never been inside one of those places. I've never been inside a medical marijuana facility, but I've never been to, now I've been to states where marijuana is legal, but I've never gone
into a dispensary. Have you ever been to Vegas at all?
I've been to Vegas, but I've never been to a dispensary.
Because you weren't interested or you thought that it was wrong? I mean, because you could take, and I'm not saying that, but
no.
If you go, I mean, if they're there, why
I'm
not?
I'm curious on what is in there? What do they sell? How do they do it? Is it just like apothecary jars with different
it's
brands?
Similar to if you would go to, say, okay, in Monroeville Mall, you have stores that sell cannabis, CBD, hookah pipes and all of that. So it's similar. It's like you're going grocery shopping, but you're grocery shopping for
I remember
marijuana.
There was a place in Squirrel Hill called Heads Together.
Uh-oh.
Now you're talking 1970s here,
say,
right?
I'm going way back.
No, wait. They sold that, you'll love this. Water beds and water bombs.
That's right. That's what it was.
Heads Together, their commercial was, "We got what you need."
A bed and a bong?
A bed and a bong. Hey, if this passes, Heads Together may be back in Squirrel
Hill. That's good. I think it's a good thing. So I'll keep you posted, and I'm going to reach out to the state reps to try to get their position.
Tamira Rush.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.